Hey, Lisa, welcome to the Protectors. Today is a very special day for me. You are the first guest since the Protectors has become a registered trademark now. So it's now the Protectors with a big old R behind it. So welcome to the show.
Congrats on that. And thanks for having me. That's amazing.
Yeah. Little process. Took me about a year, but it's done. Lawyer fees and everything else. Well, you now have a registered the Protectors. It's really cool.
Love it.
Lisa, I am so glad I get to talk to you today because you're doing a lot behind the screen to help veterans and help the veteran community, which is so cool. I mean, I know so many veterans that want to get into the film industry, into the music, and into the arts because they're so creative. And it's such a cool thing for like people that don't have that specific background to say, hey, you know what? Come on over here and I'll help you out. So how did this come across, Lisa?
Yes, thank you for that. As far as the work, my advocacy work with veterans, I just feel, you know, it's the right thing to do. I mean, and it really found me because I was called by a dear friend, Barry Morgenstein, top headshot photographer in New York City. And Barry is a strong, you know, veterans advocate. And he said, hey, I have a friend, Captain Leslie Nicole Smith. She served in the Army. She lost her sight and her leg while in service. And her service dog, Isaac, want to attend your acting workshop, Lisa. Can I give her your number? And I was like, sure. So she called me and we had a really nice conversation. And I said, I can't wait to send you material. And of course, the whole time I kept thinking to myself, like, how will she handle this? You know, if she's legally blind, I have to put her on camera and give her direction. So the day that she came into my workshop in New York City, I had about 25 actors in the workshop. And of course, the room fell silent when she came to the front of the class with her service dog and she sat down. I had her on camera and I said, Captain Smith, you know, really honored to have you here. I just have a question. And please excuse my ignorance, but how will you know where to look? Because I need you to look like, you know, right into the lens. And she just smiled very calmly. She said, well, Lisa, I hear your voice and I suppose you're behind the lens. And it was like, yeah. So everyone got a chuckle out of that. And then of course she just nailed it. She blew us away. She was calm, natural, just really beautiful. What an inspiration. So from that experience, from that first, you know, meeting encounter with Captain Smith, I went on to cast her in one of my short films that I wrote, produced, and directed. And it was titled The Shooter's Nail. And it was about a veteran who becomes a mentor to an urban teen. Which is what my series is based on, the pilot episode and future episodes. So anyway, I cast her in this short film. She came all the way up from Virginia, you know, Penn Station, then from there out to Astoria in New York, where we were filming. And after 14 hours on set, I had her a room, you know, dinner. I was doting over her. And at one point, she even grabbed my arm. She said, Lisa, please, you don't have to fuss over me. I served in the Army. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. but I was just so excited to have her there. And afterwards, I expected her, you know, to have her dinner and then take her to her room and, you know, take care of her. And she said, I'm going back home tonight. And I'm like, no, you'll get home 4 a.m. Like, really, you should stay. She's like, no, I am so inspired. I haven't felt this camaraderie since I served. She said, I can't sleep. And, you know, like I still get emotional when I think of that day because I couldn't stop thinking about her words and her, you know, her smile and how she felt so, you know, fulfilled being on set with us. And she understood the collaborative, you know, efforts of filmmaking, the teamwork, the long hours, everything that we needed, you know, and she enjoyed it. Most importantly, I kept thinking about how it made her feel. And I wanted other veterans to feel that way. And that was the beginning of the Veterans Film Apprenticeship. And that was back in 2018. And then again in 2019, my next short film, I cast veterans as actors, consultants, background actors. And I thought, let me try this again, because if I do it with a larger group of veterans, not just one, and they all feel the same way, then I know I'm onto something that could really be good for their quality of life. You know, now that they're home, what can I do to kind of, you know, give back and repay?
And that's the one thing you mentioned, one word, camaraderie. And, yeah. You know, the light bulb went off in my head. And I think to myself, you know, one thing you miss when you get out of some sort of service, whether it's like me, law enforcement, or military, but when you get out of the military, you miss that camaraderie. You know how to follow orders, you know, and that's the thing is when you're putting veterans behind the lens and even in front of the lens, they know how to follow orders, but they also know how to work as a team. And they know, you know, like when you said she wanted to go home. Well, you know what? That to her, it's no big deal. You know, the civilian, you're used to working long hours and stuff, but that camaraderie, that's incredible. And like you mentioned before we started about like teaching people, not just in front of the camera, but behind it. Like for one instance, the drone operations, which is huge. That's perfect.
Big industry. Yes. And I'm a drone pilot, a Part 107 commercial drone pilot. And I know for me as a filmmaker using drones, of course, it's amazing to get those cinematic shots, you know, from up in the sky. And yeah, that's what I start thinking about. How could I develop this so that it really has a focus on providing veterans with drone training, guiding them, you know, mentoring them through that process until they take their test and then obtain their license. And then beyond that, job placement, because, you know, after all, again, what inspired me was what can I do that would help? And job training, job opportunities made sense because like you said, once you're home, I've heard that over and over. I'm not military, but I did devote 8.5 years interviewing military men and women of all branches of service and all wars, even to include the Montfort Point Marines in Philadelphia, which some of the guys I interviewed were like 95, 97, 98 years old. And just to get all these different stories and perspectives, it really helped me to understand because I heard it over and over. I miss that camaraderie. I miss my brothers and sisters. I miss that feeling of team. And it makes sense because, you know, a film set is similar in that regard, that you have that team and everybody has their specialized skill set. And then you come together to make this amazing film. So that's where it began. And I'm excited because it's of course, it's a big vision, but anything worth fighting for, I don't have to tell you that or anyone that has served, you know, you put that fight into it because you believe in it. And I have, and so has Captain Smith, as well as other veterans who have really supported me. And that second time on set with you know, 45 veterans on motorcycles from the Warrior Watch Riders and some of the other actors, background actors, you know, one being a Vietnam veteran, really tall guy, you know, brawly guy came up to me with tears in his eyes. And, you know, he said, I felt forgotten. We felt forgotten. And thank you for today. And he just, you know, he said, can I hug you? And I was like, hell yeah. You know, and I just, that feeling of what it meant to him and the others. And I was like, wow, this is too good to, you know, not continue to nurture it so we can grow and help more and more veterans. And I'm just really excited because some good things are coming up already for 2023. And it takes more than me. It takes like-minded individuals that say exactly what you said, that it makes sense. And I like this and let's do it. So building a team has been really inspiring for me, because it's one thing to have an idea when you're all alone with your idea, but then when you start, you know, building the team and other people inspire you because they believe in it as well. And one actor, of course, star of Criminal Minds, Joe Mantegna, who we know to be a very, you know, strong veterans advocate and support of the Gary Sinise Foundation and all the efforts that Gary does. Joe Mantegna responded to my project, gave me a beautiful testimonial video, you know, saying that the gap between veterans and civilians is so broad that this is a way that we can bring it together and also, you know, help veterans with a whole new path in life, job training and opportunities, you know.
And that's the thing about him. He's such a veterans advocate, and I like seeing him on screen. I like that he always portrays like realistic veteran, realistic law enforcement. That's one thing about him too.
Yes.
You know, one thing about this whole thing is, how do people get involved? I get so many questions all the time. Like, if I do something, be like, how do we do that? And I'm like, well, let's find out. So Lisa, I mean, this is the thing. How do veterans get involved?
Thank you. Well, I'm easy to find. My website is lisaregina.com. Heroic Episodes is part of this project because I've been writing a series, because I would like to see that narrative series running and veterans as part of my team, you know, my production team. So lisaregina.com is probably the easiest, or you can email me lisa@lisaregina.com. Or through my nonprofit, which is a 501c3, A Right to Heal. And I don't know if you know this, Jason, but I established that nonprofit back in 2006. After I had survived a violent domestic violence assault. And April 2nd, 2005 was my assault. So a year later, I worked to figure out what could I do to learn from this experience and also help others. So I formed A Right to Heal, because writing has always been an art form that I love. And it really helped me in healing, as well as going to counseling and meeting other women who were in far more painful situations than mine. And they weren't able to get out of it. And I brought them into a writing group. And that's how my A Right to Heal started. And the reason why I bring that up is because I really suffered with PTSD and some emotional and physical challenges for myself overcoming my assault, because it was in the middle of New York City. I was thrown from a vehicle into the street. And so healing was something that I knew well, and no way trying to compare it to your service or any other of our veteran service.
But Lisa, I have to stop you right there. I tell civilians this all the time, is just because you're a veteran doesn't give you a right to service. And you starting a nonprofit, you starting to help people heal, is giving back. Now, we both know people that are self-serving that have never done anything for anybody ever, but you're doing it. You start the nonprofit, you're getting veterans behind the film, you're helping women learn to write, you're helping them heal while you're also helping yourself heal. That's giving back. That is service. While it may not be in a war zone, 90% of veterans probably never served in a war zone. Or I don't know what the stats are, but that's the thing, is like, and not everybody's a combat soldier, and not everybody suffered PTSD, but so many civilians suffer PTSD as much, or if not, well, actually a lot more than service members, because there's just more civilians. But so many domestic violence, sexual trauma, assault, it's just certain things that do it. So yes, that's why I just want to tell you that starting a nonprofit and getting people behind the pen and keyboard is so therapeutic.
It is. It really is. Thank you. I always want to show the utmost respect for anyone who has seen combat. And I had a Vietnam veteran tell me during an interview, he really wasn't going to open up much. But then after I shared my assault, and I said exactly what I said to you, he grabbed my hand and he said, you survived your own battle, your own war. Just, let's talk. And then he started talking to me, which was part of my discovery, too, was that anyone who has survived trauma or still struggles with the the residual impact of it on their life. Just us coming to a bond, you know, where we could talk intimately, to me was a huge part of my process in learning as a writer, as a producer, as an advocate, just as a woman, you know. So I think that it, as far as domestic violence goes, you don't talk about it. And that is also kind of, you know, common with veterans and don't really get into the stories, mm-hmm. but talk about it. So it's all about healing, Jason. And this project is really meant for healing, because the bottom line is, when you're healing from any trauma, if I can help to provide someone with a job, and if that's part of helping their quality of life to heal all around and their families, then, you know, that's why I'm here. I know that's why I'm here.
And, you know, the thing too is a creative job. Mm-hmm. So our mind is, I always felt like, you know, you can drone on, you could be in a cubicle farm forever and you're not feeling like you're really doing anything creative. And so many people are creative and they want to be behind the pen, the keyboard, the camera, in front of the camera. And they just don't know where to go. Now, one thing you brought up too is 2023 is going to be a big year for you. Yeah. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. Well, some things I can't get into detail because they just haven't been announced yet, but our team has grown. I'll say that. And there are some, you know, budgets available now that weren't. And as we know, you need that. you need money to make any vision come to life and implement the idea. So I'm excited for that. And I'm just grinning ear to ear. Yeah. I want to scream it from the rooftops and I can't yet, but I would hope that maybe I could come back on and tell you about it once it's in motion.
I'm looking forward to it. How did you get into the creative arts?
I started at a young age. My mom, rest her soul, she passed when I was young, but she sort of understood that. She was creative herself, and I would just be in my room where the other kids would be outside playing. I'd be in my room for like 6-10 hours just drawing or writing. And I remember the best part of my day when I was really in that creative tunnel was when it was dinner time and my mom would flick the lights on in the hallway. So, you know, it was like time to come downstairs. And I would grab her hand and say, come on, I want to show you what I painted, or I want to read to you what I wrote. And she would always say, dinner first, and then I'll come upstairs and you could share with me, you know. So I just remember being that way from a very young age, you know, like she called me the Pied Piper. I'd have all the kids in the neighborhood, you know, in the backyard, and we would be doing a skit or a play or something that I wrote in my head, you know. So of course, I went on in my adult years to go to New York University, and I studied screenwriting and acting, theater acting, stage acting, as well as TV and film. And being in New York City, and the building that I live in is where Martin Scorsese lived when he went to film school. So I kind of, I guess, felt this, I was in the right building, you know?
The vibe.
But, yeah, good vibe, good. But I, when I'm not writing or I'm not acting, I paint, I draw. I have to always be channeling that energy. It's just there for mm-hmm. me. Part of my being, I guess. Yeah.
It's part of most of our beings now. It's like you always have to be kind of, it's like multitasking, but creative multitasking. Now, what do you think of it? I mean, at this point in your life, do you like being behind the screen or in front of it?
Both. I do enjoy both, but I like directing. I love directing. I do. And I've been coaching actors for 32 years. So I've been directing actors for all that time. And I really enjoy that process. I like that intimacy with the actor and discussing the script and the roles and the characters and, you know, challenges and inspirations. I love that.
I love it. So coaching veterans, are you going to be bringing in more? How many do you have people you're working with? Or, I mean, how does a veteran get involved with you?
Well, the Veterans Film Apprenticeship is at the very, this is the birth of it. This is the very beginning. I have my first veteran, Frank Sean Johnson, who's going through, he just completed drone training for his Part 107 drone license, and he's ready to schedule his test. And I've been, of course, communicating with him throughout the process of training. I had to take my recurrent, you know, every 2 years you have to retest. So I just finished and I got my recurrent. So I was helping him with the maps and different things that the weather, you know, section of the test, which can be overwhelming. And you just have to, like anything else, you just got to grind through it and get through the studying part. And then the next step after he takes his test will be hands-on training with a drone in the field flying, because of course, taking a test and actually operating a drone, two different things. I chose Frank Sean Johnson, a former Air Force veteran, because his story blew me away. When he served in the Air Force, he worked as a mental health specialist. Mm-hmm. And since my project is all about healing and, you know, he told me his story that he came home from service, no injuries. His neighborhood in Philadelphia, he was shot in the back and they told him he would never walk again. Ultimately, 2 years of therapies and surgeries, he lost his leg. He walks with a prosthetic now. And that story, I was like, okay, this is just too much, out of control. You know, of course we hear the news, you know, and I was just so upset to learn that, and this had happened, you know, years ago. And I'm like, that same climate exists in that city and other cities. And it's wrong, you know? So I called him and I said, Frank, I know that you shared with me that sometimes your prosthetic is painful, and he expressed his concern about future, you know, work. What am I going to do? Will I be confined to my wheelchair? And I said, on the days where you can't use your prosthetic because it is painful, you can fly a drone from your chair if you had to. And he thought about that and we discussed it. And I just thought, you know, he would be the perfect candidate, but I wanted to hear from him first. So I said, do me a favor, just write me a letter. He says, why do I have to write you a letter? I have you right now on the phone. I said, because I want you to sit with your own thoughts and feelings. Write me a letter how getting your drone Part 107 commercial license would change your life, you know, if it would. And he wrote me a beautiful letter, and basically it would be a positive impact on his life and provide him with an income that could be more stable and provide him with a job that if he was, you know, had to use his chair, he could still work. And that anxiety, you know, diminished some anxieties about his future, and just, you know, it was all positive. And I was like, okay, this is perfect then, you know, it's not just me pushing him. It's like he wanted to do it. So he is the first one going through and the Veterans Film Apprenticeship. And the other significance of that is that I had cast him in my last two projects. So it was really perfect that we had built this friendship relationship and I got to know him on a more intimate level. So I knew to feel comfortable enough to ask him, you know. But as far as it moving forward, future veterans, just reach out to me because I am, you know, collecting stories and files and getting ready to gear up so that once the funding is in place, we can start helping more and more veterans to do the same thing. And it might not be the field of cinematography. Like for Frank Sean Johnson, he loves filmmaking, acting, cinematography, and I cast him into my film. So that's a perfect match in the film industry. But the aviation industry is vast because you can use that Part 107 license to, you know, do search and rescue or mm-hmm. agricultural or inspection of power lines or security. I mean, it's pretty boundless, you know.
You know, that writing such, I like me, I'm kind of blown away because I'm thinking to myself, you know, you could talk on the phone, we could talk like this, but when you tell someone to write a letter, it opens up their emotions. They give time, they think about it, and they're like, you know what? I really do want to do this. I think that's incredible. And I think it's a healing process as well. Getting it out on paper and getting a new mission. That seems to be the biggest thing when it comes to like stressors and you know, transitioning from the military is not having another mission.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have it. And once you get it, now you're giving people missions. And I love that.
Thank you. Yeah, you're right. And that healing process really helped me in the days following when I was released from the hospital after my assault back in 2005. I used to keep like a legal pad and a pen next to my bed. And in between, you know, vomiting, not to get too graphic because I was pretty sick, I would just scratch down stuff, whatever I was feeling, whatever I was thinking. It was just like pouring out of me, you know, and it became like a lifeline, you know, having that pen and paper. And ultimately that pad with all my scrambled thoughts and pain and feelings and fears and anxieties and everything, I later on molded that, adapted that to a monologue that became my one woman show that I staged in New York City and then across the country. Because I went on to become a keynote speaker for the YWCA. And the reason why I'm kind of segueing into this part, it's an important piece of what you were saying, like about writing and healing, and not just for myself, but the other women and the other people that I turned on to, you know, my process, like this worked for me, this stream of consciousness, just pour it out, let it just pour out of you. And don't, you know, hold it in because it becomes, you know, explosive sometimes or damaging or detrimental. It's just not good. It's toxic in a lot of ways to hold it in, even, you know, physical ailments. So, that's amazing how it goes back to the root of where my nonprofit started, with writing as a way to heal, a tool for healing.
Alisa, I appreciate you coming on and talking about all this stuff. And I'm looking forward to following you and supporting you and seeing how veterans can get involved. But I am going to put you on the spot right now.
Okay.
What is your favorite movie of all time?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that is. So many. My God. I don't know. You know, I had a screenwriting professor at NYU who said, go home, watch Jaws and put it on mute. And we're like, huh? You know, we love that dun-dun-dun-dun, the music. Yeah. And he's like, no, I want you to just follow this, see if you can follow the story structure, the characters, the conflicts, the, you know. So that was an exercise. So that film always comes up for me because I do like that film a lot. But I mean, I'm Italian-American, so The Godfather, of course, the original. And but there are some movies I think that we don't maybe think about or we never heard of. You know, some indie films that I've seen. There's one that, I mean, it's crazy. I did this film 18 years ago and it's on Amazon now. And it was probably the first time I really started casting other actors and getting my other actors jobs because, you know, it's like, hey, I'm working on this film and they're still looking for, you know, 1, 2, 3 roles, you know, are you interested? Mm-hmm. And I look back and I'm watching that 18 years later with my husband and we're just laughing. We're like, wow, who would have thought this film would be on now? And it's a sweet film. It's a really sweet story. And it does have some domestic violence in the story. But the way Eugene Sellego wrote this, it was so truthful that you could understand the both sides of like love and then anxiety over financial problems and family and like the anxiety that sometimes families go through and how it escalates to something like really bad. Completely different story, but just interesting. So I think that sweet little film deserves some kudos.
What's the name of the movie?
The Tournament.
Okay.
Yeah, they really deserve kudos for making that film on a very, very shoestring budget. And still today, when I watch it, I go, wow, it's relevant and it's beautiful. Yeah.
Well, Lisa, I appreciate you coming on and looking forward to it.
Thank you.
2023.
Yes. Get ready.